بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to Living the Legacy this Tuesday morning. On the program, as always, we explore ways that we can live a legacy. And one of the things that's often missing is our connection or understanding of reverts to Islam and the challenges they face. We have many listeners who are reverts to Islam themselves and are faced by these challenges too. And today on the program, we're joined by Sheikh Samih Jad. Sheikh is the presenter of the Da'wah program on Radio Islam, Ahlan Akhi on ITV, and Madrasa on Air on Voice of the Cape. No stranger to the airwaves of Radio Islam, and with the revolutionary program on the Muslim names that many of us have benefited from so much over the years, alhamdulillah. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Rehana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts. Jazakallah khairan for inviting me. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, inshallah, to say what will benefit our audience, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Sheikh, we know that your work is extensively involved with reverts to Islam. So we're very grateful to have you joining us on the program today on the topic, Faith Boosters for Reverts. So if we could start by asking you, from your experience, your expertise in the field of da'wah, what are some of the ways that new reverts can boost their iman?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. Jazakumullah khairan, sister, for asking this question. And indeed, there are some boosters that will help the new Muslim, inshallah. One of them, or the first one of them, and the most important one, is to search for a masjid close to you and connect yourself to this masjid. Connect yourself to a masjid, inform the imam there. When you go to the masjid, don't just go and sit. No, go and straight look for the imam. Where is the imam? They'll tell you, this is the imam. Go to the imam, tell him that you are a revert, you have accepted Islam, you are a new Muslim, and you need help and support. And you need to know the Muslim community of the masjid. This is so important. You cannot imagine how this is going to help you, inshallah. When you go to the masjid, inform the imam that you are a Muslim, a new Muslim, and that you need help and support. Don't worry, the imam will welcome you. The imam will be so happy. The imam will, this is his job, is to welcome the new reverts and to teach them and to educate them. So number one, search for a masjid. And I'll tell you now how to search for a masjid, inshallah. Then you connect yourself to the masjid, go there to this masjid, even if it is far, even if it's 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers, because sometimes some reverts say, Sheikh, but there is no masjid nearby, there's no masjid around. You can at least search for that masjid, the closest one to you. And then when you go there, ask to speak to the imam. Go to the imam, tell the imam you are a revert to Islam and that you need help and support and to know the Muslim community around you. So he will introduce you, inshallah, to the community and he will try to help you and educate you. And at the same time also, the community of the masjid will try to help you and will welcome you, inshallah. Coming to the point of searching for the masjid, it's so easy nowadays. And if you don't see the masjid around you in your area, etc., then don't worry. You can just go to Google, type the name of your city, for example, Soweto, for example, and then right next to it, masjid. Soweto, masjid. Johannesburg, masjid. Whatever. Then you will find so many masajids, inshallah. So you can go to the closest one, inshallah, to you, and then you go to speak to the imam, like how I explained to you. Don't worry. Masjids are open for everyone. There is no membership in Islam. It's not like some religions where they have membership, etc. No, masjids are open for every Muslim. So you can go there, and I recommend you go there maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock. So it's midday, so people can, you will find people there, you will find the imam there, inshallah. The next point is that if you fear your family or your friends, etc., you don't have to tell them in the beginning. You can keep the matter private between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah the Almighty. So you don't have to tell anyone in the beginning. Just until you feel comfortable to inform, then you can inform them. Number three, learn gradually. Don't overload yourself. Don't try to learn everything all of a sudden, then you fail. Take it easy, take it step by step. Whatever you learn, you practice. And the first thing to learn is to learn the prayer. The prayer itself will help you a lot. The prayer is a booster by itself. When you start learning the prayer and you start asking the Almighty for guidance and for knowledge, and you learn this prayer, this five times salah, it's going to be very good booster for you and it's going to help you a lot. Right? So the first thing to learn is that you learn the prayer. And whatever you learn after that, you learn gradually. Don't try to do everything or to learn everything all of a sudden, then you fail. Number four, which is, if you make mistakes while you're learning, don't worry, don't stress. Allah the Almighty knows that you are new and that you're going to take some time. And so don't worry, just keep on trying until you do it correctly. So we have to inform the new Muslims about these things. Also, you don't have to change your name. Don't think that you have to change your name in the beginning, etc. As long as your name have a good meaning, it's okay. You can keep your name, inshallah. As long as your name have a good meaning, it's fine. You don't have to change your name or take another name if your name already have a good name, a good meaning. So I hope these points, inshallah, will help you and will give you some boost and relaxation, inshallah, until you learn more and you fit into the Muslim community. Barakallahu.
Inshallah. Very helpful tips, I think, for even for people who were born Muslim, who then left Islam and are coming back to Islam again. There's so many Muslims like that. So this is very helpful, Sheikh. What are some of the biggest challenges you found in your line of work? What are some of the bigger challenges that new reverts face within Muslim community?
I think this is a very important question. The challenges that faces the new Muslims, because you see, these challenges actually, when it faces the new Muslims, it pushes them back to leave the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. If it wasn't handled correctly by the Muslim community and the imam, etc., it might push this revert to return back and to leave Islam. And actually, what we notice is that about 70% of those reverts, put two lines under the word 70%. 70% of those reverts, they decline. They leave the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world still. But wallahi al-azim, we're in the field already. So many of those people who accept the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, they leave it. Why they leave it? Because of these challenges I'm going to mention now. Number one is that to fit in the Muslim community, some of them, they don't find any support. Some of them, they don't find the masjid, they don't find the Muslim community, don't find someone to welcome them. And this is a big challenge to the new Muslims. Some of them is the only Muslim in his area, or the only Muslim in his town, or the only Muslim in his city or province. And so it's a big challenge to the revert. And so we want to make sure that we can accommodate those new Muslims and welcome them and be of a help to them. The second challenge for them is obviously the family, their families and their friends, and how to tell them, and will they accept them or not to accept them. This is why when I gave the advices now, I said that they don't have to tell if they fear for their life or if they think that the relationship with their family is going to get cut, etc. So it's fine. It's a matter between you and Allah. As long as you, in the beginning, you're comfortable with Iman and faith, then you just keep it private for now until you learn more and until you know more Muslim community around you, until you be able to help yourself, inshallah. Number three is the issue of education also is an issue, is a challenge to the new Muslim. He wants to learn his deen, but he don't know where to go. He don't know how he can get education from. So this is also a great challenge to the revert. And this again puts puts it in front of our duties as Muslims to make sure that we support Islamic centers, masajid that helps the reverts, and that we have programs for reverts in all our masajids. At least once a week, there is a program in every masjid, in every masjid that we can help the reverts. There is classes for reverts, and we announce it everywhere. There is classes for reverts in this masjid, in that masjid, in that masjid. So those reverts, inshallah, when they accept Islam, they know, I'm going to learn, I'm going to find my education about Islam from this place or that place. There are so many challenges, but I'm just counting for you some of them. One of them also is the issue of marriage. After the new Muslim accept Islam, also some problems that he faces is that he doesn't know who to marry or how to marry or where he can find a person, a Muslim, to marry. It's also a problem. And sometimes the Muslim families themselves, the family of the girl, they don't want her to marry a revert. And this is a problem. Those reverts, where are they going to marry if we are depriving them of marrying our daughters, etc.? It's their haqq. If they accepted the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to allow them to marry. If they, alhamdulillah, they have work, alhamdulillah, they can sustain a family, then we allow them and we encourage them and make things easy for them. And this will be a great booster to them also to increase their iman and to teach them more, inshallah. So I hope that these challenges, inshallah, we can overcome.
Inshallah. Sheikh, you mentioned about accommodating revert Muslims. So let's cross that bridge now. Those of us born into Muslim families, what can we do to support, welcome, accommodate revert Muslims. I don't think we're doing even 10% of what we need to be doing, you know, really. And we will be answerable and accountable for this to Allah. So what should we be doing? How can we support? How can we accommodate? How can we welcome revert Muslims? So that staggering number of 70% starts to come down, because we are part of the problem and we need to be part of the solution as well.
You mentioned a very important point, which is we're going to be held accountable by Allah Azza wa Jal for those reverts who decline, because they didn't find proper follow-up, they didn't find good welcoming, didn't find education. It's our duties as Muslims in Muslim community to firstly welcome the new Muslim right from the first moment. And in Arabia, for example, if there is a revert, someone accepted Islam, I don't exaggerate it by saying that most of the masjid, everyone who knows that this person is a reverse who just said the shahad, everyone stand to welcome, and some people offer him instantly help and support and give them clothes and give them foods and give them jobs even sometimes. SubhanAllah. And we don't do this here, we don't find this here because of a lot of the island and many numbers of reverts there. Or I don't know what is the issue exactly, but it starts right from the person says the shahada. As soon as the new Muslim says the shahada, the Muslim duty starts from there. Welcoming this new Muslim, giving him a big hug and supporting him and welcoming him and smiling in his face and takbir for him and taking him and offering him help and support and education right from the first moment. He should feel it in our eyes. He should feel our happiness in our eyes. That we happy for him, we love him, we respect him, subhanAllah. And comes after that, also our duty is again to teach that new Muslim, to make sure there is some kind of education to this revert. Whether you connect him to a sheikh, whether you connect him to the masjid, whether you connect him to certain imam to teach him, it's our duty, whether to connect him to a madrasa or to an Islamic center nearby, or to search for him. If he doesn't know how to search, you search for him and you connect him, but don't leave him like that. Allah Azza wa Jal going to question us. You, the chance and the opportunity for you to increase your thawab is there. Because أَدَّانُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. Whenever you invite someone to goodness, you will share similar reward. Now, you taught him or you connected him to a sheikh to teach him or to a masjid. Everything that this masjid is going to teach him, you're going to take similar reward. Just by you guiding and inviting this person to where to go. They don't know, ya ikhwa. They at that time when they just accepted the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't know where to go. They are like in the desert now. They are in the desert. They took one sip of water, but they don't know what was going to happen after that. Who's going to give them another water? So, ya ikhwa, it's so important, my brothers and my sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you hear the shahada from someone, or you let you hear that this person accepted Islam, how can I help? How can I support you? I can help you in this way. I can help you, inshallah, and connect you to a masjid. Where are you from? Which city do you live in? I'll search for you to a masjid close by. And you search and you connect this person, give him the number, the phone number of that person who can help, and say, go to this person, contact him. Inshallah is going to help you. But don't just be negative. We want to be positive. We want to find the answers. We want to find the help to this revert, inshallah, and take a step in order to help this Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. The next point also is to accommodate them, to invite them to our family, to communicate with them, to connect to them, invite them to our occasions. During the Eid time, it is so sad that many reverts are left behind. No one bothered to invite them to their houses. They're not connected to their own families. Now we are their families. So it's our duty to invite them to share the moments of Eid with us, to come to our houses and to enjoy the happiness with the Muslim community. Not just he finished Salatul Eid and he's gone. Where is he going to? We need to invite him. Invite those reverts to your house. Invite them to any occasion. Invite them outside. Let us accommodate them in our houses. Let them feel that they fit in. Right. The last point also, one of our duties as well, I mentioned it earlier as a challenge, which is the marriage. The issue of helping them to marry, searching for husbands or for wives for them, helping them to solve their problems. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِي أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي مَسْجِدِ هَذَا شَهْرًا. If I walk to fulfill the needs of my brother, he's your brother, this revert is your brother. If I walk to fulfill his need, it is better for me to make i'tikaf in my masjid for 1 month. 1 month in Masjid al-Nabawi. Imagine one salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to how many salah in your house, in your masjid. Now, not only that, the salah and ibadah and Quran for 1 month, now to fulfill the need of this Muslim brother is equivalent to or better than i'tikaf al-Masjid al-Nabawi for 1 month. من مشى في حاجة أخيه حتى يقضي حتى يثبتها له أثبت الله قدمه يوم تذل الأقدام. Anyone who walks to fulfill and to achieve for his Muslim brother any need, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make your feet steady on the day of judgment when you cross on Sirat al-Mustaqim. So let us not waste this reward and let us welcome the new Muslims and help them and support them according to our capacity, inshallah.
Inshallah. It's so interesting what you mentioned, Sheikh, because here in Malaysia, where there's a lot of reverts to Islam, from Buddhism into Islam or Christianity to Islam, especially amongst the Chinese Muslim, Chinese community, we find that there's so much of support for the reverts to Islam. And this is not just support on the organizational level, but on the grassroots level, meaning people. For example, the reverts, some of those that I've known in the past, is they would say that they're too overwhelmed, there's too many choices, they are invited to so many homes for Eid, or there are so much of financial support for their studies that they don't know which offer to take because mm-hmm. there's so many offers,
That's what I'm saying, is that they differ from community to another community. Subhanallah. Yani some communities we see the great welcome of the reverts and how the Muslim community support them and look after them. And some other communities, they're having this problem. They're suffering from this problem that they're not looking after the reverts. And unfortunately, in South Africa, we have to say that the reverts are not looked after in a proper way. And we need to do more in order to accommodate those reverts and to connect them and to support them.
Absolutely. I think if we have to start, in our homes, in our communities, starting in our homes, that our children grow up seeing that we are supporting and we are helping and welcoming reverts to Islam, and then they will be that next generation that will do that. But if the only thing we keep saying is, oh, mashallah, look at him or her, such strong iman, you would never say they were not born Muslim, as though we, born in a Muslim family, have such iman. So it's to recognize that, yes, we admire their strong iman coming into Islam, but after that, how are we supporting them? How are we encouraging them? How are we making them? You said something so beautiful. We are now their family. Many of them don't have family now. Their family has disowned them. So we are their family. So if we are their family, is this how family treats each other? Or is it that family welcomes and supports and encourages each other? This is very valid. I know of a young Chinese lady who became Muslim in the UK while studying. Her roommates were Muslim, and amongst them a Saudi girl. And this girl, now it's about 8 or 9 years since the Chinese girl has been Muslim, but this Saudi family still pays for her tahfiz al-Quran and her Islamic studies fees after all these years, because they don't want her to give up. But look at the ajr they're getting, and look at the support they are giving her, so she doesn't feel alone, especially from where she is right now in China. So yes, as you said, we need to do much more. We are not doing, I won't say we're not doing enough, I'll say we are not doing, we're doing hardly anything. That's the honest truth. And we need to be doing so much more in our homes, in our communities. We have so many women organizations, so many societies doing amazing work. We need to channel a certain avenue and make a pathway in all of these organizations where we support and we welcome reverts to Islam.
I mean.
Inshallah. Sheikh, finally, we ask our guests every week to share their nasiha with us, please. What would your nasiha be with us? For this week?
Well, I will say that the same subject, yani, da'wah is the mission of the Anbiya. This is the mission of the Anbiya. What an honor to carry this mission of the Anbiya. Let us invest in da'wah. Let us invest in spreading the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And don't think that da'wah ends by the person accepting Islam. This is just 10% of the work of da'wah. The 90% of the work of da'wah is the education to that new Muslim and looking after this new Muslim after he has accepted Islam. I say that when a person just accepts Islam with you and you leave him after that to his fate, it is like you a newborn has been, a new, you have a new child a baby, and then you took that baby and you threw him in the desert and you went away. This is obviously he's going to die. Obviously, this person might face great challenges and he might not continue in the faith. So, Allah al-Azim is so important, that issue of looking after the reverts and educating them. مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَى هُدًى فَلَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلَ أُجُورِ مَنْ تَبِعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you invite person to guidance and you teach him that guidance, you're going to share similar reward to those who practice upon this guidance until the day of judgment. This is عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. You're looking after him, you're investing in him. This new Muslim who used, kept him steadfast on the path of Allah by you educating him and accommodating him and looking after him, it's an investment for you. Everything that he's going to do, him himself and his family after that and his progeny and generations until the day of judgment will be in your scale of hasanat because you're the one who supported this new revert. This is why the ulama says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ بَثِّ الْعِلْمِ. There isn't a thing better than spreading the knowledge. Educating the new Muslims, looking after the new Muslims is the best investment for us, Yahuwah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to have a share from this. May Allah azza wa jal make us among the successful people who will be du'at to Allah, who will come on the day of judgment as witnesses. Allah will call them as witnesses over all people. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh al-Ameen, to your du'as. We've benefited tremendously from this. You've brought up such valid points and lots of practical tips, both for reverts to Islam as well as those who are ready to take up that mission, that prophetic mission, and support, advocate, encourage, and welcome in reverts to Islam as part of their own family. May Allah reward you, Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to use you for the service of His deen. Ameen.
Ameen, Ameen, Ya Rabbi. Jazakumullah khairan, Sarihana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong your life in the ta'a of Allah Azza wa Jal and accept from you and grant us all sincerity. Allahumma Ameen.
Ameen, Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We've been speaking to Sheikh Samih Jad, the presenter of the Dawah program at Radio Islam, Ahlan Akhi on ITV and Madrasa on Air on Voice of the Cape. We've been talking about faith boosters for reverts, and in this interview, we heard more from Sheikh on some ways that new reverts can boost their iman, some of the biggest challenges that new reverts are facing in a Muslim community, and how we can, those of us born in Muslim families, can support revert Muslims. The program will be up on podcast. You can go back to it and share the link with many others and be part of that revolution of those who revived this prophetic mission. We go for an ad break. When we return, more on the other side. Stay with us. Alhamdulillah, and welcome to the second segment of this hour. As always, the program is up on podcast, so you can play back to the interview before the break where we spoke about iman boosters for reverts to Islam, and we took a very direct, real and practical, honest approach to what we need to be doing to support, advocate, encourage and welcome reverts to Islam. So if you haven't heard that as yet, or if you have, please share the recording with others as well. Let's make that difference. Let's be part of that change. Let's be those that support and encourage reverts to Islam. Ameen. And talking about that, in keeping with that theme, we're going to go today to a story on discovering Islam. And this is really a beautiful story, beautiful narrative, alhamdulillah. It's written by Scott Lynch, and he writes all about his experience coming to Islam and how he found Islam, or rather Islam found him. He says, Allah is a permanent reality that works in the lives of those who hear His message. Not having a personal relationship with my Creator tugged at my heart and mind for nearly 2 decades. Then I discovered Islam. I would not be considered in the West as a stereotypical Muslim. I believe the popular Western stereotype of a Muslim male is something like the following: dark skin, dark hair, bearded, Middle Eastern or Asian descent, dressed in modest clothing, and possibly a head covering. No. I'm the complete opposite of this, writes Scott Lynch. I am in many ways the epitome of the all-American boy. Blonde hair, blue eyes, corn-fed Protestant Christian background. However, Islam and Muslims takes on many faces, many backgrounds, many cultures, many nationalities, and many tongues. Our family moved a few times in my youth, but my world was limited to the heart of the Bible Belt, in Augusta and Spartanburg and Greenville, South Carolina, all fairly large communities, but all offered little in religious diversity. I had normal, loving, God-fearing parents. They are still happily married today after more than 30 years, and one younger brother. I grew up as a PK. For those of you outside of Protestant Christianity, I was a preacher's kid. My father was a Southern Baptist minister for more than 25 years. As you can imagine, for the first 18 years of my life, I attended church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any number of other nights that the church lights were on. I grew up believing in God and Jesus, or should I say, fearing God and Jesus. Like most teenagers, I was afraid not to believe in the religion of my parents. However, something was wrong. I can recall thinking, even at age 10, this Jesus story does not make sense to me. Even at this young age, I didn't accept the divinity of Jesus and the notion of Christian salvation, with Jesus dying for my sins. As all my church friends were getting saved and baptized and confirmed, during their preteen and teenage years, I sat quietly in the church pews, questioning the fundamentals of Christian theology. My parents, my church friends, and the various churches my father pastored throughout my childhood all prayed for my salvation. Then, one Sunday night, I succumbed to the pressure. I was 12 years old, and my family was at the First Baptist Church of North Spartanburg. After a fiery sermon, which obviously moved a lot of people, my father came to me and said, "Son, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? It's about time you do so." I was tired of all the solicitations, tired of all the, "Scott, we're praying for you," tired of always feeling like the one who didn't belong. I lied to my father and said, "Yes, Pops." That night, I repeated after my father and supposedly accepted Jesus into my heart. I was presented to the church as a new Christian, baptized, and immediately became part of the church, of a Christian church community, although I was very empty inside. For the next 5 years, I put on the charade of a good preacher's kid. I attended Bible studies, went on summer mission trips, and even had a couple saves, which is individuals becoming Christian, contributed to me. This was all under the veil of a big lie. That night, when I was 12 years old, the night that I supposedly became a Christian myself, I never asked Jesus in my heart. I went through the motions, but it meant nothing to me. When I graduated high school and it was time to go off to college, I only thought of one thing: religious freedom. I viewed the opportunity as the chance to move away from my parents and to experience or explore the religions of the world. I majored in religion. However, moving from one part of the Bible Belt to another part of the Bible Belt didn't help my search. Once again, the only religious diversity was in the form of what flavor of Christianity you wanted for the week. I did run across a couple of free-thinking religion professors who mentored me in exploring religion. Unsatisfied with the lack of religious diversity, I left South Carolina for the University of South Carolina in Columbia, and I thought, surely I can find other religions in a city the size. Once again, I majored in religion. While in Colombia for the remainder of my undergraduate degree, I became extremely interested in Judaism, but not on a spiritual level, rather on an academic level. I was attracted to the Hebrew language. I took more than 4 years of a combined Bible and modern Hebrew and excelled at reading the original scripture and reading Jewish prayers. In fact, because one of my professors was a local rabbi, I even taught sixth grade Hebrew school for a term. And to this day, a decade later, I can still read the Hebrew texts. I was very involved with Judaism in Colombia, but much like Christianity, its fundamental beliefs seemed empty to me. Inside, I asked questions like, if the Jews are considered God's chosen people, where does that leave me? While at the University of South Carolina, I was exposed to a glimpse of Islam. I took a class entitled Islamic Institutions and Traditions. It was taught by a non-Muslim who had taught university in Egypt, so he seemed to be an authority on Islam, but the class did little for me other than provide a good textbook background for me. Half the class consisted of Muslims, so I think the class's integrity was kept in check. Halfway through the class, I did visit the local mosque and witness Salah for the first time. Although I didn't understand, I was impressed by Islam's simplicity and humbleness. My brief encounter with Islam, both in a college class and my visit to a mosque, planted a seed that would grow for the next 10 years. After my undergraduate studies, I went out into the workforce. For the next 5 years, I withdrew from religion and became what I considered to be agnostic. I knew there was one God. However, I didn't know a lot about him. For me, Christianity and Judaism did not address the issue of the proper worship of one God. I looked again at Christianity and said no. I looked at Judaism and again, no. Finally, I began to look at Islam. My impression of Islam was a combination of several things. It was that one class I took at university, my one visit to the mosque in Colombia, and then the media. After some study, I found that Islam has the strongest declaration of monotheistic faith of any religion. It has the belief that God has no partners. The belief that God has revealed himself many times through prophets and messengers, and his message has been confused and distorted by man. That Islam is not just a religion, but an entire way of life. After reading about Islam, I set out to inquire a little deeper. I set out to find a Muslim. At that time, I was working in a very large company with more than 1,000 employees, and I thought, surely there's a Muslim or two that would be willing to answer my questions. My search did not take long. I met a kind, quiet Muslim man named Hani, and the first thing he recommended was that I read the Quran. He even gave me a copy, still one of my prized possessions, and he inscribed in it the following words that continue to touch my heart. May Allah guide us to the right path. I began reading the Quran, and to my surprise, it made sense to me. It connected all the dots for me. It confirmed so many doubts I had about Judaism and Christianity, and it provided the roadmap that I was looking for. After reading only parts of the Quran, I said to myself, I believe in this. I should be Muslim. But what would my family say? My friends? What would my co-workers think? So for months, I kept my feelings quiet and continued to study Islam silently. I read more books, purchased Islamic videos, memorized the prayers, subscribed to Muslim email lists. Out of all the aspects of Islam that I observed, the Salah impacted me the most. Like the worshippers I saw in the videos, I too wanted to bow down and prostrate myself before my Creator. Finally, after more than 8 months of inquiry with my friend Hani, he must have sensed I was ready to take the next step. He invited me to the Islamic Center of Fort Collins, where more than 1,000 Muslims in North Colorado go to pray and worship. He invited me to Fajr, and at that time it was around 6:15 a.m. You can imagine what I was thinking. God, you want me to get up before 6 a.m. on a cold Colorado winter morning and worship you? I recall not sleeping too well the night before. I felt like I was being called to do something. I went to the Islamic Center, and Hani instructed me to take my shoes off. He showed me the area that Muslims make wudu, and then the prayer room, large, simple, and quiet. For the first time, I saw again in person what I had seen only in videos, worshippers bowing before their Creator. But this time, for me, was a new understanding after all the careful reading I did. It sent chills down my spine. I wanted to worship as they did. And for the first time, I joined them and I prayed as they did. After the Salah, Hani asked me if I would like to become a Muslim. And I said yes. I had already practiced and I had said the Shahada dozens of times. And on that cold winter morning at around 6:30 a.m., I said it in front of those Muslim men. Alhamdulillah. I became a Muslim. The moment I said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, I felt a huge burden lifted from my heart. I felt liberated from my search. And for the first time in my life, I knew the truth of Allah. Has it been easy? Not always. Have I had struggles? Yes, I'm human. But the past year has been the best of my life. Allah has blessed me beyond belief. My peace is knowing that Allah has revealed the truth to me. To my Muslim brothers and sisters and all non-Muslims, may Allah guide us all to the right path, by Scott Lynch. That's a beautiful narrative of someone who's come to Islam and how he found Islam and how he came to Islam. May Allah make us of those who value and appreciate our Iman. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of the program. Do join us again next week as we continue with our series. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.